Across half court, Remus, little hesitation, bounce pass left side wing, foul looking inside, Budke with position, way up in. Addie Budke scores off the assist from Marley Fowl, 16 straight for Boyd, it's 27-19. Thrown away by Jackson Cheney, Cheney up ahead to Beisner, looking to get ahead of the pack, Bryce with his second dunk of the game with authority. Beisner makes it 45-11, the two-handed hammer.
Highlights from Beloit's makeup games last night on the road at Minneapolis as the Beloit girls win last night by a score of 35-28. The Beloit girls did not allow a point for a 14.5 minute stretch last night. Beloit girls are down 19-11, and Minneapolis would not score a point for the next 14 minutes and 20 seconds as Minneapolis scored a bucket with 5:15 to go in the second quarter. They didn't score again until a minute 15 into the fourth quarter. So the Minneapolis girls went over 14 minutes without a single point, yet only lost by seven. So Beloit girls defense getting it done, and the Beloit girls win last night by a final 35-28. And the Beloit boys winning last night big over Minneapolis, 58-21. Welcome to Sports Ticket, brought to you by Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit. Your home for fast, friendly auto repair. We give it to Dusty for a recap of last night.
Yes, as you mentioned, the Beloit girls just outstanding stretch there defensively there at the end of the second quarter all the way to the beginning of the fourth quarter, shutting out Minneapolis there in that third, that 16-0 run that you heard there put them up 27-19 at the end of the third quarter, and then they would go on to win it by a final of 35-28. Again, a huge game for the Lady Trojans in building confidence and picking up another nice road league win. They're now 9-4 on the season, 4-1 in the NCAA. They did jump out to a 4-0 lead before Minneapolis went on a 12-0 run there, but Beloit never left or went away. It was 14-8 after one, and they outscored Minneapolis 10-5 in the second quarter even. So they started that run, as we mentioned there, in the second, and held Minneapolis scoreless for a long stretch there. Beloit led by Addie Budke with 11 points. She was our athlete of the game, co-athlete of the game from SNS Drug and Home Health in Beloit. And also Brady Weatherman of Minneapolis was our other co-athlete of the game. She had 11 for the Liddy Lions, including 3 3-pointers. Got off to a hot start, had 8 early, and then hit a 3-pointer late for Minneapolis. Budke also got the block of the game from H&R Block in Beloit. A utility player of the game from St. Con of Kansas was Peyton Remus, who had a nice night defensively and then hit 4 free throws down the stretch there to continue to stretch the lead for Beloit. And they ended up being up by 10 late and ended up winning it by 7, as Wade mentioned, 35-28. And our connection to the game was a pass from Peyton Remus to Brecken Boudreau in the fourth quarter that gave Beloit an 8-point lead and started stretching that out for the Liddy Trojans. Minneapolis dropping to 10-2, 3-2 in the NCAA with the loss. As Wade said, Beloit dominant win over Minneapolis on the boys' side, 58-21 was the final. Kind of a sluggish start, a little bit of a slow start. It was 6-3 at one point there in the first quarter, about midway through, and then Beloit started scoring a lot. They ended up with a 12-3 lead after one, but ended up being a 20-0 run as they led 26-3 midway through the second quarter. They led 34-4 at half, 51-13 after three, 58-21 the final. Three in double figures for Beloit in a balanced effort. Bryce Beisner had 12, 10 each for Eli Johnson and Quinn Eilert. As Beloit, again, gets the win, Beisner was our athlete of the game from SNS Drug and Home Health in Beloit. And the connection of the game was the assist on an alley-oop from Jackson Cheney to Bryce Beisner there for the Trojans as well. And then the athlete of the game was, or the block of the game, excuse me, went to Colton Adolph for Beloit. That's from H&R Block of Beloit. And the utility player of the game, St. Con of Kansas, was Luke Cheney with a solid game off the bench for Beloit there last night. Trojans record improves to 12-1 overall, 5-0 in the North Central Activities Association. Minneapolis dropped to 2-10, 1-4 in league play. And Owen Just, who was averaging 14 points a game for Minneapolis, did have a game high 14 for the Lions. So he scored 14 out of their 21 points there in that loss last night. So again, Beloit gets the sweep. Girls win 35-28. Boys win 58-21. Those are the scores from Beloit last night. Also, some makeup games last night for Smith Center and Republic County, as Smith Center gets the sweep there. Nice win for both squads. Smith Center girls winning 55-24. The Smith Center boys won 53-28 in high school hoops last night. Also, there was some wrestling last night. We'll get to real quick here. Beloit went winning both of their duels. They beat Riley County 39-36, and they beat Ellsworth 54-18. And Norton, a win over Smith Center in dual action last night. The score of that one was 48-16. So that's a look at the wrestling results. We're going to come back to high school basketball and preview tonight with the weekend schedule for wrestling. Today, the Mid-Continent League meet at Ellis at 1 o'clock. Beloit and Osborne at the Hoisington Tournament with boys and girls action at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And then coming up tomorrow, the Blake girls are at Larned and Osborne is at Red Cloud. Both of those are slated to begin at 9 o'clock. You can find full schedules at ncksports.com for high school wrestling and high school hoops. Tonight, we go through the schedule. We have Lakeside and Osborne on Katy Country 94. We'll preview that here in just a second when we hear from the coaches. Other games are going on tonight. Tescott's at St. John's Tipton, Thunder Ridge at Southern Cloud, Lincoln is at Natomas, Sylvan Lucas at Otis Bison, Pike Valley is at Stockton in the Northern Plains League, and Smith Center is hosting Phillipsburg in the Mid-Continent League, and other games that are going on in the area tonight. Again, it's the Lakeside-Osborne showdown on Katy Country 94 here tonight, katycountry94.com, so we're looking forward to this matchup, and we'll always do when they play in any sport. The Osborne County rivalry, always a fun one in the Northern Plains League in the girls' contest. So a pregame at 5:50, tip-off at 6 o'clock. The Lady Bulldogs are 8-2 overall, 3-0 in the NPL. The Lady Knights, 3-7 and 2-3 in the league. And Lakeside coach Scott Germark is concerned about Osborne's standout players in the matchup tonight.
They're going to come out, put pressure on you, you know, and Zayshia Reiner, if you don't guard her at the volleyball midline and in, you know, she's going to hit those threes, and she has a good crossover, and, you know, they got the Williams girl down low. I mean, she gets the ball, and she's going to take it to the hoop and attack you, and they got a lot of other good pieces that make their team a complete team.
Lady Knights had a couple nice wins to start the second semester, but they've lost two in a row to Thunder Ridge and then a tough loss to Lincoln on Tuesday. And then over on the other bench, Osborne is picking up a couple wins here. They've actually went 1-1 in their games over the past weekend. And Jason Wilson, as his team gets ready for Lakeside, gives some keys to success.
The biggest thing is, again, focusing on what we can do to get out and run and transition, pick up and defend in the full court and the half court, and then go secure rebounds. Once we get the rebounds, we're running to score and then letting our defense lead the offense.
Again, Osborne and Lakeside girls tonight. Osborne clearly a favorite in that one coming in. Again, with the 8-2, 3-0 record in the league. Lakeside 3-7 and 2-3. On the other side, the Osborne boys are on a 7-game winning streak. They're 9-1, 3-0 in the Northern Plains League. Lakeside 1-1 of their last couple games. They're 6-4 overall and 3-2 in the NPL. And Coach Wilson for the Osborne boys back at it on that side as well. And he expects a challenge from Lakeside here tonight.
I think it's going to be another chance to. From, you know, being new to the Osborne and new to the NPL, it sounds like obviously this is a rivalry type ball game. So anytime you play a league opponent, doesn't matter win loss record, you got to anticipate them coming to bring their best game.
And again, Osborne on a 7-game winning streak with a 9-1 record coming into tonight. They've been led by Johnny Hamel this year, and we've got a starting five that's really one of the better ones in the league. And Lakeside coach Drew Dusky, he knows that will be a tough challenge for his team tonight.
Their starting five is arguably some of the best starting five you're going to see in the league. You know, they got speed and quickness. They got size. They can shoot the ball. They're going to be physical. You know, Osborne's always played up-in-your-face man defense, and we're going to have to be ready for that.
So, yeah, Lakeside definitely has to take care of the basketball tonight in this one. Pressure has caused them some problems at times. We'll see how they fare this evening. Again, Lakeside and Osborne. Lakeside boys looking to get some consistency and get back on the right track here tonight. And that would be a big step in the right direction if they could pull off a win or stay competitive here with Osborne as well tonight. So, again, we have pregame for the girls at 5:50. Tip-off at 6 o'clock. The boys' game follows. Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com from Osborne tonight.
Coming up in 30 seconds, we turn our attention to the Chiefs playing their first road AFC title game in the Mahomes era.
Son of a...
Batteries are on sale now at Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit. Don't wait till it won't start. Stop by today for a free battery test. We always install batteries for free, but right now, AC Delco batteries are on sale $20 off. If you do need a jump, we're happy to help you with that too. Find us just south the courthouse in Beloit or online at KieberBrothers.com.
They're good all the way around. Good back end, secondary linebackers are fast and good tacklers, and then they're front strong. So good all around defense.
Andy Reid on the Baltimore Ravens. They have the number one defense in the league by many metrics. The Chiefs have the second best defense in the league, and yet everybody's talking about how the Chiefs should be fearful of the number one defense in the league. Maybe the Ravens should be fearful of the number two defense in the league. Chiefs playing their sixth straight AFC championship game, but for the first time during that stretch, they are on the road against the number one seed Ravens, who have dominated a lot of teams this year and some really good teams, too. This isn't a matchup against the Dolphins, who didn't beat anybody that was worth a darn this year. This is not the Bills, who have had all their ups and downs and turnover issues and tons of injuries on defense. It is the Ravens. This is the best opponent the Chiefs have played all year long. There's no question. And the Chiefs are an underdog in this one. We'll go over that coming up in a moment. Steve Spagnuolo, defensive coordinator for the Chiefs. He has, he's been the Super Bowl defensive coordinator of three Super Bowl winning teams, the Giants, and he shut down Tom Brady and the 18-0 Patriots. Of course, he's been the coordinator for the Chiefs during their two Super Bowls here during the Mahomes era. Took over Bob Sutton after the Chiefs lost in overtime to the Patriots in Mahomes' first year as a starter, and says that we faced Allen last week, we got Lamar this week. There's some similarities, but there are differences.
The challenge is the same. You know, quarterback that can throw it, that can run it, that can scramble, right? It's like three dimensions instead of two. And some of the things that we normally would put in a game plan for that type of quarterback were in there last week. They'll carry over to this week. And they are different quarterbacks. You know, what we want to do to them might change a little bit. I don't want to dive too deep into it. He's just like, if you put the film on, I mean, it's like, okay, how do you defend that? It's another one of those, right? Because there's some things he does that nobody else does. And the best thing we can do is try to contain him as best we can. To me, the best thing we did last week, if we could do this again, which is hard to do, is limit the explosive passes. I mean, I think that helps us. You know, then it makes him kind of matriculate down the field, and hopefully we can make a play somewhere along the way. We got to get him in those passing downs. Last time we played this crew, I don't know, it's a different offensive coordinator, but we only had 11 third downs, and five or six of them were 1-4. We need to, that needs to change to have any kind of success or have a chance at success. So that's what we'll be trying to do.
All right, so there you have it from the defensive coordinator himself, Steve Spagnuolo, as they get ready for the AFC Championship game. 2 o'clock is the kickoff, 1 o'clock pregame on Westwood One. We are not allowed to carry the Chiefs network broadcast. It's, once again, I say this every year, it's some silly NFL rule. And so we will still have the broadcast tomorrow. Kevin Harlan does a pretty good job. He'll be with Kurt Warner, but it won't be maybe the same, obviously, because they won't be able to be homers like we can get used to with Mitch and Danan and Josh on the sidelines. So Chiefs and the Ravens AFC title game coming up Sunday with pregame at 1 o'clock, Westwood One coverage, play-by-play at 2 o'clock, and then we'll pick up some Chiefs local post-game. We're allowed to do that after the game, hopefully the Chiefs celebrating another AFC Championship and moving on to the Super Bowl yet again. Injury report for the Chiefs. Derek Nnadi looks like he's going to be out again. And you may think that's not that big a deal. This is a guy that's been in the league for a while. He's not a superstar, but he's a really good run defender, run stopper. And I think they missed him against the Bills. And you know the Ravens are going to run the ball. So that's a significant loss again this week. Let's see. Mike Edwards has been limited due to a concussion. He's got to go through all the stages of the concussion protocol, so he may or may not be available on Sunday. If he isn't, Jamari Connor, the rookie, will probably get the nod. And he played very well against the Bills last week in the playoffs. Isaiah Pacheco, cautionary situation there. Ankle and the toe, has not practiced the last few days, but sounds like he'll be ready to go. Joe Tooney, pectoral sprain or strain, I should say, and he has not practiced this week. There are many that believe that he's going to do everything he can so he can play. I think they'll be okay with Nick Allegretti at left guard, and then if they can win, then Tooney be ready to go for the Super Bowl because you have that two-week layoff. Willie Gay is an important player, limited participant with a neck. They did some imaging on his neck, and they say that it's fine in regards to nothing severe. Blaine Gabbert, backup quarterback with an oblique, but he's been a full participant. They've been cautious with Legarius Sneed with a calf injury. Trent McDuffie, an ankle, has been good to go. Wanya Morris, who's a backup tackle. Donovan Smith, the rookie at Oklahoma, he is full participant this week. Remember, he had that concussion a few weeks ago. Charles Omenihue, defensive end, a wrist injury, been good to go. Hamstring for Rice on the injury report, but he's practiced all week. Kadarius Toney, limited participant yesterday in practice with the hip, and oblique for Marquez Valdez-Scantling, but he's participated all week long, and Joshua Williams, a knee, he's participated all week long. So really, there's nothing too significant other than Joe Tooney. Willie Gay, that's significant, of course. Pacheco looks like he'll be good to go, and then Edwards with Nadi being out. So there's significance there, but I think it's something the Chiefs can overcome for the most part. Ravens' injury report is much smaller. They played one less game here in the playoffs. That helps. And then, of course, they rested their starters the final week of the regular season, as the Chiefs did. Mark Andrews may be back, and that's another weapon for the Ravens. He's been a full participant this week in practice, so that's a huge addition. Marlon Humphrey's missed some time. He's an outstanding, talented corner. It looks like he's going to be able to go this weekend, although he's been limited in practice. So it looks like the Ravens are getting healthier. The Chiefs are a little banged up. That's what usually happens when you have to play an extra game in the playoffs. So keys to this football game coming up on Sunday, I've listed an assortment of them. I think offensively, the first thing that I come up with is pass protection. If you give Patrick Mahomes plenty of time to throw, if Donovan Smith and Juwan Taylor can hold up and Nick Allegretti can do his job at left guard, assuming Tooney can't go, then the Chiefs, I think, will be fine. I think the Chiefs, if they get good pass protection. It doesn't have to be flawless. It doesn't have to be perfect. But if it's solid and good to where Mahomes isn't drifting back in the pocket, starting to hear footsteps when they're not there, because if he does, that means that the Ravens have gotten some pressure on him early in the game. I think that's a paramount situation. I mean, they've got to be able to protect Mahomes, and left and right tackle is the biggest question certainly there. Although the tackles played well last week, the Ravens are a much better defensive front, less injuries. So that'll be something I'm going to be watching. The other thing is to take pressure off Patrick Mahomes, clearly give him time to throw the ball, but also Pacheco. He doesn't have to run for 100 yards for the Chiefs to win this game. If he does, I'd like the Chiefs' chances a lot.
Yeah.
But if he can just be effective in the run game, if the Ravens can completely shut down the run game, the Chiefs become one-dimensional, you know, can they still win? Yeah, probably. With Mahomes, anything's possible, but it'll make it more difficult. The obvious one to point out is limit mistakes. The dumb penalties, the untimely penalties, the low snap from Creed Humphrey at center, lining up offsides as a wide receiver, you know, the untimely holds, the turnovers, the drops. I think we can go through all of this stuff, right? So limiting mistakes is always critical. In regards to the defense, to me, there's two main things. One, you're not going to stop Lamar Jackson. He's going to have some plays in this game. There's no doubt about it. Just like Josh Allen is going to have plays. But you've got to contain and confuse Lamar. And Steve Spagnuolo, you know, has been able to confuse quarterbacks in the past. But they've got to contain him. When they have a chance to wrap him up, you know, 9 times out of 10, they got to wrap him up. The other thing that I point to, and I know a lot of people are concerned about this, with Nadi being out, that I alluded to a moment ago, he's a good run stuffer at D-tackle. Also, how the Bills ran over the Chiefs in the first half. And the Ravens are probably even better at running the football. And then you got Lamar, who's a quicker, faster Josh Allen version. Allen's more of a physical runner, but pretty good speed. And then Lamar, you know, is so elusive and shifty and quick and fast. I don't expect the Chiefs to do well against the Ravens running game, and I don't think they have to. And here's why I say this. The Ravens and the Chiefs have played multiple times over the years during the Mahomes era, and the Chiefs have won every time except the last time, and that's when Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumbled a football away, and Mahomes, when the Chiefs were dominating the game, threw a boneheaded interception. His words, not mine, after the game, he said that. In that game and every game the Chiefs have played, the Ravens have run the ball very effectively. In fact, there's been a game or two where they've run for over 200 yards, and they've lost those games. So if you tell me that, well, the Ravens, if they run for 200 yards, the Chiefs are going to lose, I'm going to tell you, no, that the history does not back up your argument at all. Here's the key. The key is not to shut down the Ravens' running game. Now, can they average 10 yards a carry? Of course not. But here's the thing. The Chiefs can, and I think this is what's going to happen. I think the Chiefs are going to get gouged in the running game at times. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think they'll be on their heels at times. The key is to do what they did against the Bills on the first drive of the game. Hold them to 3. That's the key. This Chiefs defense is going to bend against a very good offense. They're going to give up some plays, but they need to not break. If they can bend, which they're going to have to, because I don't think they're going to just shut down the Ravens offense, they're going to have to play their best defense in the red zone. That's going to be the key in this game to me for both teams. Is the red zone. We've seen the Chiefs struggle in the red zone at times this year and get a lot of field goals. against the Ravens, you may not be able to settle for those field goals as much. But the whole key to this game, I mean, after all the things I just threw out at everybody, and there's lots of different things you can overanalyze this till the cows come home. But I think the biggest thing is both these offenses are going to move the ball. But what happens when they move it from the 20 to the other 20, between the 20s, and then they get inside the 20? You know, are the Chiefs going to get stupid and get all tricky and fun and gadgety and run jet sweeps and wildcat formations and who knows what else? And Mahomes lined up as a wide receiver? Because I don't think the Ravens are going to do that. So that's where you're going to have to execute. Don't have the untimely holding penalty. Don't have the untimely false start. Don't have the untimely low snap by Creed Humphrey that disrupts the entire play for Patrick Mahomes. Don't have a breakdown on offense to where a blitzer comes through and Mahomes has to throw it away on a 3rd and 5 or a 4th and 2. And on defense, conversely, when the ball hits your hands, you got to catch it. And yeah, it sounds interesting, you know, because you're like, well, the offense, what about the offense? They got to catch the ball too. Of course they do. But the Chiefs had a few opportunities in the game against the Bills to get turnovers. One in particular with Connor trying to scoop and score, which I get and understand. And but that's when the ball's on the ground, the Chiefs are going to have to get, they're going to have to take advantage of those opportunities. Because I do think the Chiefs can win this game minus in the turnover category by maybe one. Or maybe they can, you know, it could be minus two. They could be minus two, but get a turnover that's a pick six or something, or sets them up for an easy touchdown. That kind of neutralizes the turnovers, and if your defense can hold them to three. And so to me, ultimately, when I look at this game, the Chiefs' defense, I think, is going to bend. I think the Ravens' defense is going to bend. What happens when their backs are against the wall and it's the inside the 20? Are you going to hold the Ravens to Justin Tucker field goals? Are you going to hold the Chiefs to Harrison Butker field goals? Or are the Chiefs going to be able to convert and get touchdowns? And what about the Ravens? So that's something to keep in mind. Yes, crowd noise could be a factor, although in Buffalo, the Chiefs seem to handle that very well. I don't see why it will be any different in Baltimore, so I'm not too concerned about that. Injuries are always a factor in any type of game, as we've talked about. But at the end of the day, the Chiefs will have to play their best game of the year to win. I think they can. And the Ravens, the pressure's on the Ravens. I'm going to say the same thing I said last week. The Chiefs, this has been a successful season. Now, there might be some Joe Blow out there that's going to tell you, well, it has to be you have to win the Super Bowl every year. It's a failure. You're not going to win the Super Bowl every year. It just does not happen, okay? The fact that the Chiefs are one win away from being in the Super Bowl for the fourth time in what is it, 5 years, is insane. The fact they're in the AFC title game 6 straight years and Mahomes has never played, never been knocked out before the conference title game is insane. Based on the way the season went for the Chiefs and their ups and their downs and their drops and the lack of a number one receiver for most of the year until Rice developed into that role and Kelsey being hurt and Jones holding out and offensive line penalties and so forth and so on. At the end of the day, the Chiefs went 11-6. They won their division, but they weren't the favorites going into the AFC playoffs. And they're an underdog again. They're underdog against the Bills. Now they're an underdog against the Ravens. They have a chip on their shoulder. I think the Chiefs are absolutely relishing this opportunity. I think some of the pressure's taken off a little bit because they are on the road instead of at home, because at home you're expected to win. And we've seen the Chiefs not exactly take care of business in regards to blowing a team out or winning comfortably in the AFC title game, except the first time Mahomes had the Bills in town. And they won comfortably in that one. But, you know, the Bengal games were unbelievable tight at the end and overtime. The Patriots game went to overtime. I mean, you know, the Tennessee Titan game, they were down at halftime, if I remember correctly. They were down 10-0 in the first half. So this is a unique opportunity. And I'm optimistic the Chiefs can win this game. Mahomes is 6-0 all time against number one rated defenses in his career. 6-0. The Chiefs' defense is number two in the league. They're number two in sacks. Number one is the Ravens, I believe. So that's the top two defenses in the National Football League. We saw what Chris Jones did when he was motivated quite a bit in that last game against the Chargers. He had the highest pressure percentage in like the last 6 years in the NFL because he's trying to get his $1 million bonus. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Do you know that Chris Jones, if he makes it to the Super Bowl, the Chiefs, he gets another million? Ooh, I like that incentive.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that. So Chris Jones. But here's the thing, and I saw Joe Cullen, defensive lines coach, talk about this. It was on the franchise. They caught video and audio on the sideline during the Bills game. I don't know if you saw this or not, but he was talking with the defensive lineman, and he said, listen, you need just basically he was saying you rush upfield, but you got to stay in your lanes. And the whole thing was contain Josh Allen. The Chiefs were not worried about getting sacks that much. It was about don't let Allen step up and run up the middle for a big gain. Don't let him get outside the pocket and run for a big gain. And he had a few of those. And in that Bills-Chiefs game, neither team had a sack. And part of the reason why the Chiefs didn't get a lot of pressure on Josh Allen is because they were reading Josh Allen's eyes. They were reading Josh Allen to see if they could knock some passes down, because they know if they really turned it upfield and tried to get him from the side, the edges, the defensive end positions, and Jones was lined up there a few times, that he's going to probably beat you, and he can step up, yep. and he can even if you get there and you should be able to sack him, he's too strong to either throw the ball downfield while he's being wrapped up by the waist, or he can break out of a tackle and make a huge play. And I think the Chiefs' strategy is going to be very similar. It sounded like that when you heard Spags a moment ago, is that we can't let Lamar, and we're all about trying to sack him, and then he gets away. That means two or three defenders are behind the play. Now you got all these guys covering downfield, and before you know it, you turn, and Lamar's got 15 yards and ahead of steam. Will there be a spy on Lamar Jackson? Willie Gay was a spy on Josh Allen, but Willie Gay's nicked up with the neck. That's the important part of this game coming up on Sunday. But I do think it's going to be a similar game plan, that we're not so worried about sacking Lamar Jackson. In fact, I think the Chiefs would be happy as clams if he stayed in the pocket. And let him and see if he can beat you with his arm and not his legs. And Lamar Jackson has had a very good year, and his passing statistics are actually very, very good over his whole career. But there is still questions about, can Lamar do it in the big games? Well, he did it last week in the playoffs. He looked really good, threw the ball well. He's got more weapons. A lot of people that supported Lamar Jackson said he needs weapons. Well, he's got Zay Flowers. He's got OBJ. He's got more weapons. Mark Andrews turned into a Pro Bowl tight end, and he's been hurt, and he might be back for this game. They've got weapons, plus they can still be physical, still run the ball. They have good special teams, and they're solid defensively, one of the best in the league. So they check all the boxes. I think the question mark is still, can Lamar do it in a big-time game like this? Like, last week was pretty important, yes. But now against Patrick Mahomes, can Lamar do it? And we're going to find out. This might be the coming-out party for Lamar Jackson from the standpoint of all this talk about Joe Burrow is Patrick Mahomes' biggest issue. If Lamar and the Ravens win, and they win the Super Bowl, Joe Burrow should go to the rearview mirror, and Lamar Jackson is the biggest threat to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs the next few years. And that's interesting, considering that the Ravens seemed reluctant to give him a big contract. Other teams didn't seem to want to trade for him. And now they could end up be having the MVP. He might end up being the Super Bowl MVP, too, if they make the Super Bowl. I think the AFC champion wins the Super Bowl. And then one more thing to consider, and this is the thing to be a little bit concerned about, no doubt, for the Chiefs, is how much gas is in the tank. The Chiefs luckily rested in Week 17 their key players. They had to play in the cold against Miami. They won. The Ravens had that week off. The Chiefs went to Buffalo and heard all the talk about how it's their first ever road playoff game with Mahomes. The Bills, this is their year. The Chiefs are down. And the Chiefs were celebrating that win. They celebrated that playoff win, I thought, about as much as any other playoff win they've ever celebrated outside the AFC title game. Mm-hmm. They celebrated it more than when they came down from 24-0 to beat the Texans. So that's concerning a little bit. And then the Ravens are sitting at home. They had extra day of rest, extra day to prepare. And then the Chiefs have to fly all the way to Baltimore. So that's something to keep in mind. And I saw an interesting stat, although there was all kinds of interesting stats before the Bills-Chiefs game, and the Chiefs blew those stats and those trends away by winning.
Yeah.
But there is another one I saw, that since Josh Allen has been quarterback in the National Football League, every team that has beaten Josh Allen in the playoffs, and granted, that's a 5 or 6 year thing. Every team that has beaten Josh Allen in the playoffs has lost the very next game, is what it is. Now, is that right? The Chiefs? That's right. That would be right, because the Chiefs lost the Super Bowl.
They lost to the Buccaneers.
That's right. So that
they
is
lost to
the Bengals.
The Bengals after they beat them the other time.
Right. So here we are.
Yeah.
You beat the Bills. If the trend continues, the Chiefs are not going to win on Sunday. But if you go with another trend, and that is Mahomes is 6-0 against number one defenses. So one of these trends is going to be broken, as with all the trends you can look up. So What do you think is the biggest key? Is there anything I'm missing here that you're looking at?
No. I will say that the biggest thing for me is one of the later things that you talked about defensively, right? Because I think that, you know, Spags will have a plan of, yeah, we're not going to try to just run right at this guy and try to sack him, right? Like, we're going to have him contained. You got to make him make plays. You can't make it easy for him, right? Like, he's going to make plays, but you've got to make him do it. He can't just, like, be – and I think historically they don't really put a lot of, like, blitzes on Lamar Jackson, right? Like, right. And that's just something that they do. So what I'm – on defense, like – and I talked about this last week, and it didn't end up hurting him, but I'm with you – and one of the biggest things with this defense is if you have the opportunity to get a takeaway, you got to get it.
Yes.
And I think that is magnified in this game because you're not going to get a lot of opportunities to do it because they're going to run the ball. They're going to shorten the game if they can. There's going to be less possessions for your offense. So if you can get them turned over and get it inside their red zone, or like you said, return it for a touchdown if it's a pick six or a scoop and score, whatever it might be. If you have that opportunity, take advantage of that opportunity because you're not going to get a lot of them. And it can be the difference in a win or a loss. And even if the turnovers are a draw, if neither team turns the ball over, it's like I still feel like this team has got to get a turnover probably in this game on Sunday.
I agree.
Whether they're going to score off of it or not, I think they're going to need at least one of them just to put themselves in the right position because they will. And they've shown it in the past. They will give up yards on the ground. And so it is. And I think the first thing you talked about was hold them to three. Mm-hmm. And you got to go get seven when you're in the red zone.
Oh, yeah,
I feel. Yeah, it's like you can't go down and get down there six times and get three and get field goals on every trip.
Yeah.
And think you're going to win with 18 points in this game. You can do that in some games, but that's not, I don't think it's going to work in this game. So you got to get seven when you get to the red zone. And if you have opportunities to get a takeaway, pounce on it. I don't care if you got to just jump on it and you're not going to get any yards out of the deal. Get the ball if you have the opportunity.
I believe Lamar Jackson is going to make at least one boneheaded pass in this game. And the key is going to be, do the Chiefs catch it? Because I could see him throwing late over the middle, and it could be Jamari Connor, the rookie, jumps it, and he's got a pick six right in front of him, and he can't hang on to it.
Yeah.
And then the very next play, the Ravens get a first down or something like that. So the Chiefs have to be ball hawks, as we like to say, right? And the Chiefs defense, the only really big knock on the Chiefs defense, I think, this year is that they don't force as many turnovers as a team typically that's rated that high. The Ravens do. So that's concerning as well. And I think another thing to point out in this game is how aggressive are these teams going to be in fourth down and three, fourth down. I'm not talking fourth and one, fourth and two, because fourth and one, fourth and two, I think the Ravens are going for it no matter what. And John Harbaugh usually rolls the dice on that. Andy, who knows? He's going to probably play it by like, yeah, my defense playing really well. Maybe I will punt.
Always a feel of the game.
I know. And I think in this game, Andy's got to just throw caution to the wind. That's what I think. You got to remember you're the underdog, and the underdog should be more aggressive, in my opinion. The underdog should let it fly a little bit more. But I think the Ravens with John Harbaugh, if it's fourth and short, there's no doubt they're going for it. It might even be their own 40. They're going for it. Will the Chiefs have the gumption to do that? I don't know for sure all the time, but that is something that could definitely be an X factor when one team is all in and the other team's a little bit more conservative. And considering that both these teams are so good defensively, I think the team that's more aggressive will typically have a slight edge. So it is time for the predictions for Dusty and I so that you, our favorite listener, can go with the opposite of what we say. The Chiefs are 3.5-point underdogs. The over-under is 44.5. There is all the talk about the Ravens defense, but the Chiefs defense continues to get overlooked. Chris Jones has got $1 million bonus riding on this one if they make the Super Bowl, so he's definitely motivated. Of course, he should be motivated anyway. Chiefs could be worn down. We shall see. Maybe they'll play great first half and then wear down. Mahomes 6-0 all time versus number one defenses. And we just mentioned that the teams that beat the Bills in the playoffs with Josh Allen quarterback always lose the very next playoff game. So I'll let Dusty go first. Last week, Dusty picked against the Chiefs. He picked the Bills. I picked the Chiefs to win. My 10-year-old picked the Chiefs to win and had the exact correct score. Dusty had the right score, but the wrong team winning. So I will let Dusty go first. Chiefs, Ravens. Who wins? What's the final score?
This one is just unbelievably difficult for me. It's all there's a lot of it could go a lot of different ways. We did the breakdown. I'm gonna pick the Chiefs to win.
Kiss of death. Kiss of death.
Probably Thanks is. A lot. It probably is. There's something about the edge that I think they're gonna have going into this game. And, mm-hmm. and again, it's Lamar hasn't done this at this level mm-hmm. yet, right? I think Houston was a good warm up for him, but I think this defense is going to do what they need, and I'm throwing hope out there that they are going to get like a huge takeaway, and it's going to set them up for seven. And if they do that, that's where it turns for me. So I'm going to pick the Chiefs. And it's never going to be like a real high scoring game. I'm going to pick 23-20. Did I pick the same score you're going to pick?
Exactly. I have it typed here.
Oh, goodness.
That is exactly. I was just like, once you said it's going to be lower scoring limited positions, I had a feeling you were going to say 23-20.
I didn't want to do like a normal one. I think there's going to be like some field goal or something weird that's going to make the score not like like last week, 27-24.
I believe, if I remember correctly, the Chiefs won the AFC title game in overtime last year, 23-20 over the Bengals. And the previous game the Chiefs and Bengals played in Cincinnati, I believe, was 23-20. 23-20 somehow is stuck in the head. Dang you.
That's wild.
That's why I shouldn't.
Again, we remind
first.
Everybody, we do not no, we haven't talked talk about any of this before.
No, we haven't. Darn, man. That's why I shouldn't let you go first. So, well, I almost want to change my score now. But one of the odds is going to be 27-24 again.
It's a three-point game is just definitely in my mind.
Yeah. Okay, I'll change mine just a little bit here. And then Dustin take credit if I get it right. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, okay. So you
we can both take credit if it's
23-20. Yeah, that's true. I think it's a field goal game. I got Chiefs winning as well, 26-23. I'll alter it. I'll tack on three. Chiefs might miss a 2-point conversion or something weird. And I agree with you 1,000%. That's why I went lower scoring too, because you're sitting here like, well, you're telling me that there's only going to be like four touchdowns in this game. I think it's possible because of the limited possessions. I think the Ravens are going to move the ball, matriculate it down the field between the 20s. I think the Chiefs are going to move the ball. And we know that neither team seems to get, at least the Chiefs haven't, although against the Bills they did. But I don't think the Ravens are going to allow that. And that is a whole bunch of 20-plus yard
That's
plays.
That's the thing. You're not big plays. You got defenses that will give up yards, yes. but they don't give up points. And it's like
they don't give up the deep ball, big play. You know, that's what Spags talked about. He said, you know, against the Bills, he said, you know, we gave them some plays, but we didn't give up the big plays. We didn't give up the big passes. I think the other thing, too, is, and it ties into trying to slow down the running game, but when you get the other team into a third and long, which I don't think either team's going to get in a lot of third and longs, believe it or not, which sounds weird because you got two great defenses. But I think when you get in a third and long situation, that's another one. Just like a turnover, you've got to capitalize.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a defense and the Ravens have third and eight, the Chiefs got to stop that.
The defense got to get off the field both sides.
That's exactly right.
Situations.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And I think they will for the most part. And that's why I think limited possessions, I think both teams are going to struggle in the red zone at times in this game. And so I see a lot of field goals. And you've got two of the best kickers in the game, Tucker and Butker. So you don't – that rhymes kind of. Tucker and Butker. But you don't expect those kickers to miss field goals. Now, there's a kiss of death maybe, and the Butker will miss one or two. I don't know. But they're both outstanding kickers. So, and you feel like you got automatic points. So the question is, do you go for it and give up a chance to have three if you have fourth and three at the Chiefs 29? Or do you take the 46-yard field goal? Those type of decisions are going to be paramount in this game. I had the Chiefs before the season making the Super Bowl and winning it again. I said before the season, I didn't think the receivers were going to struggle this much. But before the season, I had the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. And I said, they had the chance before to go back-to-back, and they didn't get it done because of health, especially at tackle. And the Chiefs knew, especially Mahomes and Kelsey, that they missed a golden opportunity to be the first repeat champion since the Patriots and Tom Brady back in the early 2000s. And I've felt before the season that they're going to find a way. I knew they'd win the division. As long as they stay healthy at key positions, that they have as good a chance as anybody to win the AFC. And if you win the AFC, then you definitely have a chance to win the Super Bowl, because I think the AFC is better and deeper than the NFC. Did I expect as many struggles as the Chiefs had this year? with some of the penalties and the drops. No, didn't. But yet, at the end of the day, none of that matters now. None of it matters. It does not matter the Chiefs lost six games. It does not matter the Ravens are the number one seed. It does not matter that the Ravens have the number one defense, the Chiefs have the number two defense. It does not matter if Patrick Mahomes is 6-0 all time versus the number one defense in his career. It doesn't matter, you know, after I say all these things, that the Bills have a team that beat the Bills has never won the next playoff game after playing Josh Allen. None of this stuff matters. This is going to be a Super Bowl type of game between perhaps the two best teams left standing. Okay, and I know the Lions are really good. The Niners are good. The Ravens destroyed both of those teams this year, both of them. So the Ravens are clearly better than those two based on what we've seen. The Lions beat the Chiefs week one, and no Kelce and no Chris Jones. I'm not saying the Lions can't beat the Chiefs a second time. I'm just saying there were some things in the Lions' favor that first night of the season. So it comes down to execution. It comes down to probably a key first down when you need it on fourth and two, or a big time kick, or special teams coverage. It could be a bounce of the ball. It can be pure luck that decides this game at the end. It could be a bad official's mistake, which please don't let that happen. But the way the league's gone with the officiating this year, I think it's always possible. But for some reason, I'm not nearly as confident about this one as I was the Bills game. I will say that, because I am concerned about how much energy they expended last week. They are nicked up a little bit in a few spots. And I wonder how much gas is in the tank. But I do like the Chiefs in the role of underdog for the first time in a while. I like the Chiefs with the chip on their shoulder, basically saying, hey, it's a new season. We're locked in. We flipped the switch. We're ready to go. So I got the Chiefs winning. And maybe that's my heart over my head. A lot of people are picking the Ravens to win. I love it. I got friends of mine send me all kinds of images. Oh, when will these people ever learn? I'm like, dude, I love that they don't learn. I don't want everybody picking the Chiefs. Here's the thing. If the Chiefs win this game, I would imagine they'll be the favorite in the Super Bowl. Even if it's the Niners, they probably will be. Because the Ravens destroyed the Niners, and the Chiefs play the Niners. Maybe the Niners would be favored, and that'd be great. I mean, I'm okay with the Chiefs being the underdog the rest of the way. No problem at all. But I'm sticking with what I said before the beginning of the season, and that is the Chiefs are going to repeat.
Yeah, I picked the Chiefs to win at the beginning of the year, too. But again, like you, I was like, there's some things that I was not expecting during the regular season to happen. But again, it doesn't matter anymore, and you're in a different season, and the Chiefs have shown through two games here in the playoffs that some of that has been fixed. And I don't know, fixed is the right word, but they executed better anyway over the last couple games. I don't know if you can fix that in just two games, but you know, you just continue to do the right things and put yourself in the right positions, and things work out usually for the Chiefs in those situations. And so, you know, it's a different feel at this time of year pretty much every year.
I've been trying to say this for really the last 4 weeks, even the last 2 weeks of the regular season. I've been way more optimistic than a lot of people out there, even a lot of Chiefs fans, because the postseason is a completely different animal. And the greats, and I think we all can at least agree on this concept, that Mahomes is an all-time great already. The greats usually either take their game to another level or they elevate the level of their teammates. And when it's postseason, when it is do or die, you have to win or you are done. Your dreams die of going back-to-back, or your dreams die of winning and holding the Lombardi Trophy. Regular season, ooh, we lost six games. Yeah, ooh, we didn't get home field advantage in the playoffs. Yeah, but everybody still plays on a 100-yard football field, you know? And you still got to play 11 versus 11. And so I've been really more optimistic, and my optimism has continued to go higher and higher the last few weeks, even before they beat the Bengals. They had, of course, the bad performance against the Raiders. And I just felt like if they go ahead and close the deal and win the division, then on top of that, getting rest that final week was huge. Being locked into the three seed actually was somewhat of a blessing. That I felt like the only team that can beat the Chiefs when the Chiefs are playing well, there's only one team, and that's the Baltimore Ravens. And I thought there was a distinct possibility the Ravens would maybe trip up before we got to this game, and the Chiefs would host the AFC title game. Now, that has not happened. And so now here we have the battle of juggernauts, two outstanding quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. But I've always felt like the Chiefs were kind of waiting to turn it on. I felt that way. And I know people are like, you mean they're purposely dropping the ball? No, I'm saying their focus wasn't as good as it needed to be. And they knew they could get away with it. You know why? Because they're in a division that they were way ahead of, and I think lost some focus there. And if they had had to play in the AFC East or the AFC North with the Ravens, clearly, or with the Bills and the Dolphins after the Dolphins got off to 11-3 start, then I think the Chiefs would have pulled out a few more stops. But I think there's no question that the Chiefs, this is not their first rodeo. They're playing chess when other teams are playing checkers. Andy Reid's been to, what is it, 11, 12 conference title games? It's insane. He knows to hold things back. It might irritate the fan base. It may drive you nuts when, well, why doesn't he just run this play? It's worked before. And he might be saving it for the big game, which might be the AFC title game, and this is the sixth straight year that he's coaching in it. So I think we tend to, as fans, we ignore the past, even though we're aware of the past, and we sit there and we just say, well, yeah, but this year's different. We're dropping passes. We're committing penalties. We're beating ourselves. And I've been trying to say it's a different type of different. The last few years, the Chiefs were beating themselves when their defense sucked. The Chiefs beat themselves last year, special teams. And one year, or maybe it was last year, that one year when they started 3-4, they were turning the ball over at an alarmingly high rate. And guess what happened every single one of those years? They figured it out. They got their ducks in a row when it mattered the most and made it to at least the AFC title game or the Super Bowl. So I've been saying, and I've been in the minority, or at least it seems like it, been trying to say to people, why can't they turn the switch and do things differently in the playoffs? Well, if you're dropping the ball now, you're going to drop the ball in the playoffs. Well, MVS has just proved you wrong. I mean, MVS apparently has either more laser focus, worked harder, you know, at the end of the season, going to the postseason. But I still think it comes down to one simple thing. When your season is not technically on the line, you may be focused, but it's not laser focused.
Yeah.
And the players have already talked about how Mahomes is, they see it in his eyes as soon as they got to the playoffs. The rookies, Rashee Rice has said it. It's just a different thing. It is a whole different level of sports, postseason play. We see it in football. We see it in baseball. We see it in the NBA where teams suddenly decide to play defense. It's a whole different level of intensity. Every single play is magnified, and you got to be on top of your game. And I'm going to tell you something. John Harbaugh is a hell of a coach. He's from the Andy Reid tree. But I'm not going to bet against Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, especially with what they've done. And why do people keep doubting the Chiefs, especially their own fan base, based off of some regular season games that the Chiefs are like, you know what, we're trying to win, don't get us wrong, but at the end of the day, we just got to get into this dance. And that's what the great teams and players have done in the past. They don't always have the one seed. They might not even win their division. They might be a wild card or a lower seed in NBA playoffs, a wild card in baseball. We just got to get in, and we know we'll be fine. Look at the Philadelphia Phillies this year. They knew all year long they weren't catching the Braves. They didn't care because they knew they had the pitching to beat the Braves in a 5-game or 7-game series. And what'd they do? They mowed them down again because they know it's about matchups. If you put the Chiefs, Andy Reid's tutelage, his play calling, his offensive game plan, and you put that with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, and now you have your best running back you've had since Kareem Hunt, and you have your best defense that Andy Reid's maybe ever had, especially in Kansas City, why are people so skeptical? That's the part that drives me insane. And now people are starting to jump back on the wagon. Oh, I knew the Chiefs would do this. No. I was saying this late in the regular season that I thought there's still time. Well, they are what they are. They've been this way every week for this many weeks. Well, that's what we said last year with special teams. Yeah. If we were wrong, we were wrong then. Why don't we believe in the history of what the Chiefs have done the last 5 years? Why are people so negative and ignore the past even though they're aware of the past? That doesn't mean the Chiefs are going to win this Sunday, but that's why I believe they will win, is because of all of those things I've seen. And you can sit here and you can, well, it's the first time they've ever been on the road in the AFC title game. I don't care.
No.
Because I got 15 at quarterback, and I got Andy Reid on the sidelines, and I got Travis Kelce at tight end, and I got Chris Jones. I've got guys that have been in this game multiple times, and the Ravens do not. The Ravens have all the pressure in the world, much like the Bills, and how'd that go for the Bills? The Chiefs, on top of that, can play the chip on their shoulder. Everybody's against us. Nobody thinks we can do it, which some people do believe you can do it. I do. But that's how they're going to play it. It's us against the world. And when you have a great player or a great organization that gets to play the underdog role and gets to sit here and not have to worry about the pressure of being the favorite and your overwhelming favorite and book it, the Chiefs are Super Bowl champions, I think that allows you to play a little looser. And I think the other team plays tighter because they know, damn, we better get them this time. You saw all the heartache and the fans crying in the stands in Buffalo. Why is that? Because they knew this was that golden opportunity they've been waiting for. Why is it we always got to go to Arrowhead? You just wait. We get them in Buffalo, baby. It'll be different. And guess what? It wasn't. Baltimore, well, you just wait. We get that one seed, and we finally don't get upset in the divisional round. You just wait till the Chiefs actually have to go on the road and play an AFC title game. Well, here you are, Baltimore. Here you are, Ravens. This is your chance, baby. This is Lamar Jackson's chance to shut up the critics. This is the Ravens' chance to end the Chiefs' run, at least for now, okay? And prove that, hey, we are the best team in the AFC, or we are the biggest threat to the Chiefs, not only this year, for years to come. But if they lose this game, the narrative will be very simple. Mahomes is the greatest of all time, again, already. Mahomes beat Lamar head-to-head, and the only time Lamar beat the Chiefs was because Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumbled. Okay? But if Mahomes and Lamar have a shootout and Lamar wins the game, it will be, well, who do you think's better? Lamar or Patrick? Right? Lamar or Patrick? And even if Mahomes goes out and plays a flawless game and the Chiefs lose, somehow Mahomes won't get the credit that Josh Allen gets every damn time he loses in the playoffs. So I just believe that the Chiefs are going to find a way to win. In my head, when I look at the entire game, all the matchups, it says pick the Ravens.
It does. Yeah.
But there is the X factor, and that is experience is important. I'm not saying it's the be-all, the end-all. But I am not going to bet or pick against Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes in this game on Sunday. So there's my pick.
Yeah, it's... It is. It's just wild when you think about like all the stuff that's gone on over the last 6 years. And there's still that you know you talk about the history of it and believe in the history and see what. But there's still those times where it's like it doesn't always work the way you expect it to work.
Right.
Because we were both real bullish going into the Super Bowl against the Buccaneers.
Oh, yeah.
And then after that, we're like, yeah, we probably should have recognized the fact that both of our tackles were not playing, and they've got a good pressure blitzing defense that's going to cause some problems and all that stuff. So, but then, you know, you look at the Bengals game. It's a game that you thought was never going to happen in the AFC Championship.
We both picked against the Chiefs last year in the AFC title game, and we
absolutely
were both wrong.
And so there's times where it's like, yeah, I agree with everything you're saying, but it's not 100% foolproof, right? Like,
well,
they still make the mistakes, and there's still those things that are in the back of your mind of like, it doesn't happen right for them all the time. But when you think about this and you analyze it, more often than not, it goes the right way for them.
It does.
At this time of year. And that's something that's obviously shifted since Patrick Mahomes became the starting quarterback. So you do have to look at that, and you have to take all that into account. That has not happened yet for the Ravens with Lamar Jackson.
No, it hasn't.
It did happen with Joe Burrow in an AFC championship. So that's why last year you're like, well, Burrow beat us last year. Why can't he do it again, right? And so it is. There's things that I picked the Chiefs to lose in both of their games last year after they got into that point. So even the Jaguars, and they beat them, right? But there's things that are in your mind of this is how the season went, and you're thinking, I mean, you're not wrong about it. Like you saw what you saw during the season and the mistakes that the teams were making, both of these teams, the last 2 years. So you're not wrong about the team going into the postseason, but it is. It can, apparently they have something that they can switch, and
it's a clean slate.
Have success.
It's
it is absolutely
slate.
Nothing matters.
It's all back to even
as long as you're into the tournament, like we say all the time.
Yeah, just get in a dance, get into the tournament, see what happens. That's all you got to do. The number one seed, I've said for a long time, is overrated. It's not about home field advantage. It's more about getting a week off and not having to play a game. That's the more important part. And that might be something that rears its head in this game. You may see a great game, and the Chiefs wear down in the fourth quarter because of that. It's very possible. So, somebody texted me, said Chiefs 31-28. Easy. 31-28. I'm like, okay, it's not going to be easy. Not at all.
Well, if it's a three-point game, it's not going to be easy.
Not going to be easy. I think it's mean an easy pick that he's taking the Chiefs to win, I guess. The NFC Championship game is the Lions at the 49ers at 5:30 on Sunday. The Lions are 7.5-point underdogs. The over-under is 51.5. Okay, so I've had this theory that I've been using in the playoffs for the most part, and then I went against my own theory. And honestly, if I would have just stuck with my guns with the theory, I would have better picks in the playoffs. And what's my theory been throughout the playoffs, Dusty? It's pretty simple, right? Look at the quarterback spot.
Yeah.
Who has the advantage? Okay, so Chiefs-Ravens, you could argue it's even Steven. So then you got to go to defense. Well, oh, God, that's even Steven. It's 1 versus 2 and whatever else. If you think Mahomes is better than Lamar Jackson, then, and that's another reason why I'm picking the Chiefs to win, is because I think Mahomes is better than Lamar Jackson. Yeah. And I am like you, until Lamar actually does it in a big-time moment like this, and Mahomes clearly has, that's another reason why I'm picking the Chiefs. The Lions-49er game is interesting because Jared Goff has played outstanding. Brock Purdy's played outstanding this year. Brock Purdy did not play well in the last playoff game until he had to come through in the crunch time against the Packers and played great. Debo Samuel, I think, is the $64,000 question in this game. He may or may not play, and if he does play, how effective he is. And then since he's been a Niner, and when he's been hurt and not played, they're 8-9. When they had that three-game losing streak this year, he was hurt. So the Niners are a different team without Debo Samuel, and he's an amazing talent. They still have Christian McCaffrey, Brandon Ayuk, they have George Kittle, and they have Brock. And this is Brock Purdy, really the first time he's playing in this type of game. But he started last year on the road in Philly and got hurt right away. Jared Goff has been to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He's won an NFC title game. He has experience. The Lions are like the Chiefs, huge chip on their shoulder. They know that nobody thinks they're going to win this game. They know that Vegas has them as 7.5-point dogs. The run has been nice. The Lions haven't won a road playoff game since 1957. They've lost 11 straight road games, and I always say, you know what? All winning streaks or losing streaks must come to an end. I got the Lions covering this game. I'm picking first this time so you don't steal my damn score. So I'm taking the Lions to definitely cover. I think that's the easy money here. Now once again, don't take my advice and mortgage the house on it, okay? You should do the opposite usually. But I feel really confident the Lions are going to cover. I think it's going to be a really good game. I'm going to go as far as this, and this is where I'm taking the quarterback situation and I'm applying my theory. And we'll see it burn me. But Brock Purdy is a very good quarterback. He's got weapons. Jared Goff's a very good quarterback. Neither one is, I think, Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes-esque. Both teams have weapons. The Lions can run the ball pretty well. Their offensive line's a little bit banged up. That's a concern. Debo, don't know what's going to happen with him. It is on the road in San Francisco. And usually we'll take the home team if you think things are pretty even. In this case, many people think the Niners are the better team and they're at home. And think a lot of people aren't thinking two thoughts about this one. They're just automatically picking the Niners to win. I'm picking the Lions to do it. I've got the road team winning both of these games, which doesn't happen a lot in the conference title games. Usually one road team wins and one home team wins. Here's some other weird-ass logic that I've got for you, okay? Sorry for my language on that one. Didn't mean to let that slip out.
Hey, Zach Brown, Zach Brown says it in the song every day.
Yeah,
so.
They do. But here's my weird logic, okay? And people can argue this easily. Here's my logic. Everybody's talking, not everybody, but a lot of people are talking about the logo. The colors match the teams in the Super Bowl the last 2 or 3 years. And the logo colors this year are Ravens versus Niners. What we just saw that game not too long ago, I don't think we're going to get a rematch of a game the Ravens dominated. Okay, if you believe the NFL's rigged, you would say that's not happening, right? I don't think we're going to get a rematch of Chiefs-Niners from just a few years ago in the Super Bowl. That rarely happens as well.
Yeah.
Okay? So that leaves two scenarios, and it means the Lions are playing in the Super Bowl. See my little weird theories there?
Yeah.
The Lions and Ravens would be a rematch, I understand, earlier in the year, but it was a lot earlier in the year, and the Lions got trounced, okay? Granted, you could say the Niners got trounced, too, by the Ravens. And the Lions and the Chiefs was the first game of the year, and it was at Arrowhead, and there was no Chris Jones, no Travis Kelce, and would be a bookend to the season if the Lions and Chiefs met in the Super Bowl. Perhaps I'm picking these games because these are the teams I'm cheering for, and I don't want to be conflicted, but I'm really going out on a limb on this one. There's no doubt about it. I'm taking the Lions to beat the 49ers 27-26. They're going to break their losing streak that dates back to 57 on the road. They're ending all of these streaks. And then they will play the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl, and Mahomes will then break their hearts. So I've got Lions 27, 49ers 26.
You do steal my thunder, because I was going to pick the Lions to win, too.
So. Hey, what goes around comes around.
No, I had no idea of a score in my head yet, but I just feel like that there's too much on the 49ers going into that.
I agree.
Too much credit for this team. And I think the Lions, I mean, as the year's gone on, yeah, obviously it started with the win in Kansas City, and I think that was a boost right away to their season. And everybody was kind of talking about them being a dark horse or a sleeper anyway, and I was too.
Yeah,
right?
You were more bullish on them than I was.
Yeah, before they even played the Chiefs. And and so I was like, I really think this team is going to be really good, and it does. I mean, they've got a quarterback that has been this far and made it to the Super Bowl before. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I feel it's another gut feeling, right? But I feel like the Lions are here for the moment. And I got them winning. You know, I think both teams are going to play some good defense, too. And this could be a very similar game as far as shortened possessions mm-hmm. that we're talking about with Chiefs and Ravens, too, with the way the Lions run the ball if they're having success with it. I go 27-23 Lions.
Ooh, okay. All right. 27-23. Now, I'm looking back at the 49ers schedule here, and granted, regular season, postseason is different, but I got to thinking, like, I thought the 49ers were going to beat the Ravens. I was buying what everybody was selling about the Niners. And we talk about how the AFC is way deeper and stronger conference than NFC, and we saw that. I said all year the Cowboys were a fraud. And they were. They proved that to be true. And the Eagles, after starting 10-1, even when they were 10-1 and beat the Chiefs, they were barely winning games and they were having all kinds of issues, but they were flying away, and that caught up to them. And so then that leaves, like, who's really good in NFC? The Lions, I thought, were still a pretender. I wasn't fully bought in until they got hosed by the refs at the Cowboy game. That's when I jumped on the bandwagon, and they played with that chip on their shoulder. And the Niners destroyed the Cowboys, which I, once again, that was in San Francisco. They destroyed the Eagles, and that was a payback for what happened last year. Remember, they lost the Eagles. One of the reasons they lost, because all their quarterbacks were hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm looking at the Niners' schedule, they won at Pittsburgh. They won at the Rams by 7. The Rams are solid, not world beaters. Beat the Giants, they stunk. Beat the Cardinals, they stunk. The Cowboys were pretenders. They pounced them, they trounced them, and they usually match up with the Cowboys. Then they had some injuries. They lost at Cleveland, missed a field goal at the gun, lost at Minnesota on Monday Night Football, lost to the Bengals by 2 touchdowns. They then won at Jacksonville. Okay, I would say that's a good win, but Jacksonville ended the year 5 straight losses. So how good a win was that?
Yeah.
You know, at the time looked good, 34-3. Tampa Bay, you know, okay at the time. Tampa Bay was actually struggling at that time in week 11. They beat the Seahawks twice. They destroyed the Eagles on the road. The Eagles were coming off a short week and the weird schedule. Don't want to make excuses. It's just that, you know, they were motivated, ready to go, no doubt. But I don't know how good the Eagles truly were.
Mm-hmm.
And then the best team they played the last 5 weeks of the season was Baltimore, and the Baltimore crushed them, especially in the second half, and dominated the game. So I don't know how great the Niners are. They look flashy. They look awesome. They looked unbeatable early in the year. Some people immediately start saying they're going to go undefeated. Then they lost 3 in a row. And they usually have some injuries that hurt them. And Deebo Samuel's obviously a big one coming up on Sunday. If he's going to play the Niners, I think, you know, definitely they should win if he plays, and he plays effectively. But I don't know if he's going to be able to play a little bit and then gets dinged up and won't play the rest of the game. But, you know, I'm looking at the Niners' schedule, and it's not as impressive as I thought. The Chiefs have beaten more good teams than the Niners have, based on what I'm seeing here. And the Ravens have beaten way more teams than anybody's done this year. So that would lend to say that you should pick the Ravens to beat the Chiefs. But the Lions have beaten the Chiefs at Arrowhead. You know, the Lions have had some good wins as well. So I just... We all thought that the Niners and Eagles were the best teams in the NFC all year long, or at least that was the theory, right? And then the Eagles kind of fell apart. The Niners have been a little bit up and down. And here we are. The Lions are playing some great football. The Niners are lucky they beat the Green Bay Packers last week. So why are we all in love with the Niners when they almost lost to Jordan Love and the Packers and they should have lost? They were down 21-14, and if the Packers almost 41-yard field goal, they maybe don't win that game. So I understand the respect for the Niners, but I do think they're a little bit overrated going into this game, and another reason why I'm picking the Lions with the lunch pail mentality.
Yeah, I think the 49ers need I talked about early in the season, like their offense really isn't fair sometimes,
yes,
right? You got two guys that can catch and run,
yes,
and Samuel and McCaffrey, and you got a tight end that's one of the best in the league.
And you don't
have to have a Patrick Mahomes at quarterback if you have those weapons,
exactly.
Right? But if those weapons aren't 100%, then Brock Purdy has to do more. And you're asking more of a guy that, you know, was the last pick in the draft, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think with Samuel not being 100%, that takes a dynamic certainly away from the offense.
Mm-hmm.
And now Brock's got to do more. Or Christian McCaffrey's got to do more. George Kittle's got to do more. Brandon Ayuk's got to do more. Whoever it is, they're added to it. And when they have to become more of a focal point, they don't look as outstanding, right?
Right.
Like, they've got to do more stuff. And, you know, when you lose guys, you have injuries, things like that. Some of your things that you think are strengths actually turn into like, oh, the other guys were making this guy better.
Right.
And so that's the thing with the 49ers for me. I thought at the beginning of the year, if they're healthy, they're just unbelievable. Offensively, they have not a lot of limits, right? But as the season gets, now the Eagles, we were just waiting for them to start losing some of those games that they got lucky and were winning.
And
then it happened, right? They ended up losing and didn't even win the division. So the 49ers, I've always thought, were better than the Eagles this year anyway. But there's something about the movement that the Lions have made and the confidence that they have right now that leads me to them. And the 49ers do. I mean, even if Samuel plays, how effective is he? You know, I don't think he's going to be 100%. So that's going to be a dynamic that could hurt if the Lions take care of the football.
I will say this. When I look at the Lions' schedule here, the Niners have better wins.
They do, yeah.
You know, the Chiefs, they beat the Chiefs week one. That's their best win, obviously. They got destroyed at Baltimore in week seven. That was way back in October. They beat the Chargers. At the time, was a good win, but now, obviously, they didn't end up doing too well. Trying to see what else the Lions did. You know, they beat the Vikings twice in the last 3 weeks. They should have beat the Cowboys if not for the bad officiating call. And then, you know, the first round of the playoffs, they beat the Rams, who's a very good team, who came on late, but they were 3-6 at one point in the season. And they beat the Buccaneers, who at one point was 4-7. So you certainly can make a case that the Lions, you could sit here and say they got the right draw.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So far. And the Cowboys getting upset helped them, clearly. From that standpoint, they didn't have to play Cowboys a second time, although I think they would have beat them a second time. And you avoided a division team and the Packers playing them a third time. They had to go to San Francisco. So you certainly can make a strong argument case that the Lions are going to get blown out in this game. You could.
Well, yeah.
But I'm with you. I have this. It's just a gut feeling. Maybe I'm just buying in too much to the talk, and I like Dan Campbell so much and how they just go for it all
the
time.
It's an easy team to root for.
It is, it really is. And the story is, you know, finally winning a home playoff game, first time in 30 years, whatever it was, and now they have a chance to win their first road game and since 57. It would be an amazing story if they made it to the Super Bowl. And there's certainly a way to look at it and say, the clock's going to hit midnight here pretty soon.
Yeah.
You know, I get it. I do. I get it. But I don't know, man. There's some kind of feeling that I have in my gut that says the Lions are going to make this a heck of a game and that the Lions are I'm going as far as they're going to win. You are as well. And I will say it doesn't make sense, though, because the Lions' defense is not as good as the Niners' defense.
No.
There's no doubt about that. So, yeah. But I think we're just going with gut. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is sad and scary. But Dusty and I have both picked the Chiefs-Lions Super Bowl, which means put all your money on Ravens-Niners.
The logo's going to be right again.
The logo's going to be right again. That's what you're going to end up with. So I'm glad we could help you figure out how this all works out. Turning our attention to, once again, the Chiefs and the Ravens game, Westwood One broadcast on Z96.3 Lake, 2 o'clock kickoff, 1 o'clock is the pregame. 7-3 KU Jayhawks head to Ames, take on number 23 Iowa State this Saturday. KU 16-3 overall, 4-2 in the Big 12. Iowa State went over K-State on Wednesday at home, and they're 15-4, 4-2 in conference. KU and Iowa State tip off at 12:30, pregame at noon on Z96.3 Lake coming up tomorrow. Here is Bill Self on taking on the Cyclones.
I think they're tough. I think they take the personality of the coach and also their point guard. I think that they guard as well and as hard and as connected as any team that will play this year, and they'll make it very difficult.
If you're a KU fan, you should be concerned. You've had kind of the two easiest holes to play on a golf course in regards to your road schedule, and you've lost both. Well, you've lost two of the three. The early part of KU's road schedule has been super soft. They went to Central Florida, and many people thought that'd be a win. They lost, had a 16-point lead, couldn't hang on to it. They go to Stillwater. Oklahoma State hasn't won a game this year in conference play, and they blew them out. And they went to West Virginia against a 6-11 Mountaineer team and lost and gave up 91 points. So if you're trying to handicap this one, you're like, if you can't win in Orlando against Central Florida, you can't win on the road in Morgantown against a Mountaineer team at 6-11, why do you think you're going to go into Ames and win? And here's why I'll say that you can win. K-State, if not for playing 5-on-7 the other night, and apparently, reportedly, there's reports out there that there was a spy for Iowa State that was dressed up in security that was recording things from the K-State huddle and relaying information to Iowa State staff. Now, that's all, you know, that's not all been, none of that's been proven, but there are stories out there about that, which would be, you know, we have the whole cheating scandal that Michigan had, and other people have cheated over the years. We know about the Patriots. So it wouldn't surprise me, and I'm guaranteed it's not the first time that's probably happened. But they had to really fight to win that game against K-State. And I think K-State's a solid team, but I'm not sold that K-State is a tournament team yet. So yes, they can go up there. The thing is, when you play KU, any team plays KU, it is their Super Bowl in the Big 12. It is. I mean, all you got to do is look at K-State. That's the game they automatically sell out every year, right? No matter how bad K-State is, it's always going to sell that one out. Iowa State, they might lose, I don't know how many times over the years, Iowa State's lost to a team they should have beaten either before or after they play KU at home, and then they destroy KU or beat KU. And it's like, how did they lose to this team 3 days later? Or 3 days before.
Yeah.
Because they didn't get up for that game. They were circling this game. And then it makes your season. And so while KU's going in the NCAA tournament or going to the Final Four or even cutting down the nets, these teams that beat KU in the conference season, they're like, well, they're a bubble team. They made the tournament, got bounced first or second round. But congrats, you won your Super Bowl back in January when you beat KU in Ames. And that happens. It's complete respect. It's a huge compliment to KU. But you go on the road in this conference and you've got basically four players, and now you're relying on a fifth that is a freshman who's 17, 18 years of age that hasn't had much experience dealing with, let's be honest, Johnny Furphy's going into a hostile environment, Ames, that's going to be something he's never seen. Mm-hmm. West Virginia was hostile, but it ain't going to be like, I don't think it's going to be like Iowa State. And we know what K-State just went through. So I do not like KU's chances in this game. I don't. Do I think they're going to lose? I do. But does that mean they're not going to win? No. I mean, this could be the win that turns things around on the road for KU. But boy, this does look like a game that KU just is not going to win, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And then, like, historically, in my brain as a K-State fan, it's like, this is the game they do win.
Yeah.
And I know this is a different team this year. But I think KU is similar in the regard of what we talk about with the Chiefs, too, right? Like, if they need to flip a switch, they can do it.
Yeah.
And that's not even just their great teams. That's some of the teams just like this year's team, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, am I going to say KU's going to win? I probably not. I would still pick Iowa State to win the game. But this is one that you do. You're like looking at this team, and they're like, they lost it. UCF and West Virginia, how are they going to win this one?
Mm-hmm.
But also, Iowa State's coming off of an emotional game. I know they won that game, and there's more talk on the K-State side of it, of the emotions that were high and everything like that. But it was still a battle. And so if there's any hangover from that, that's what KU's probably hoping, right?
Right.
And so I still would pick Iowa State to win. But, yeah, on paper, it doesn't look like KU should win this game at all.
And Max is throwing stuff at his television or in his car right now, listening, going, dear God, guys, why are you picking against Kansas? That's insane. K-State's also back in action after their tough loss at Wednesday. Wildcats 4-2 in the Big 12, 14-5 overall. And like I talked about, their schedule's ramping up. They got a nice start to their season in conference play, but the schedule was a little bit soft early. It ain't soft anymore. They are going to Houston, take on the Cougars, ranked fourth in the country, who are really good at home. They're 17-2, 4-2 in the Big 12. That's an early tip-off as well. Tomorrow morning at ESPN at 11 a.m. At least you get to watch on regular ESPN. Elsewhere in the Big 12, number 20 Texas Tech is at number 11 Oklahoma. Number 21 BYU hosts Texas. West Virginia is at Oklahoma State. Number 15 Baylor welcomes TCU. And Central Florida is at Cincinnati. Women's hoops, K-State women ranked as high as number 2 by the coaches, number 4 in the AP. Lady Wildcats are 19-1, 8-0 in the Big 12. They host 12-8 and 2-5 BYU. So they certainly will be a favorite. Tip-off at 4:30 on ESPN Plus from Bramlage. K-State has a game-and-a-half lead over Oklahoma in the conference standing. Sooners will be hosting the Jayhawks as they are 10-9 in KU women and 3-5 in conference play. That's tomorrow night at 6 o'clock on ESPN Plus. So KU will play at 6, the women, against Oklahoma at Norman. And K-State will be at home against BYU at 4:30 tomorrow on ESPN Plus. Anything else you want to add, Mr. Dinas, other than stealing my scores and predictions?
No, I think it's gonna be a fun weekend. Obviously, if you're a Chiefs fan, you're gonna enjoy it up to the game and see if the game goes right, and then we'll see if we're enjoying it after. But it should be a good weekend of sports. I'm looking forward to it.
John sent a text. No, you guys just lost the game for them by agreeing on the pick. And John, more than likely, you have the best prediction of them all. Enjoy the game, or hopefully we can enjoy the game Sunday. Chiefs. Ravens, if you can't watch it, listen to it. Z96.3 The Lake.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.